I didn't mean that. All right. Oh, I didn't turn anything on.
Good night. I'm glad you're here. Keep me in line. Did you notice how sharp I am? You didn't even have to hold that up. I saw what you were reaching for. Right away, I knew. Thank you. All right, the book of Hebrews. We're going to be looking at the fact that God planned an ark. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, the next two times that I preach, that I teach Sunday school, I'm going to be speaking on the ark. It's a series in the sense that it's the same subject, but each message stands alone. Some series, are built one on the other, and if you miss, like in a three-part series, if you miss a middle one, you don't know what's going on. In this case, they each stand alone. But Noah was saved because he had faith in the Word of God. And that word was that which God spoke concerning an ark and a flood and his family. We are saved the very same way, by faith in God's word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're going to look at today is how the ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark of Noah was intended as a great preview. They called a typology or a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. The ark was planned by God. It originated in the heart of God. The ark was not the invention of a man named Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah didn't look about him and figure, wow, things are getting pretty rotten, and determine that because of man's great wickedness, God was going to do something, and he's probably going to send a flood. No, Noah didn't think that way. Noah didn't expect a flood before God told him a flood was coming. As a matter of fact, I had you go to Hebrews 11. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, here, look at this, not seen as yet. Up to this time, there was no mention of rain. As a matter of fact, up to this time, it did not rain. We'll see a Bible verse on that. But that's things not seen. Rain, floods. And he was moved with fear. I mean, fear motivated. Fear is an acceptable motivation. Okay? That's not my subject. I'll get you moving. So he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Because Noah did what God told him, he was obedient, and he was his family was saved. It was spared. Now, Genesis chapter 2, if you'll go there, and then stay in Genesis, because we're going to look at a couple different verses. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. and this was prior to the creation. God created a man in his own image, and now we have God's creation at work. Until God, through his word, reveals his ways to man, until man hears or reads the Bible and learns about God and what God wants to do in their life and his ways, he does not realize happening. You know, now you can talk to people today, the average person on the street, And they'll say things are bad, boy, things don't look good. It might be the economy. It might be like right now, because we killed this Iranian general who was forming and using their terrorist organization. Because, you know, we did that, now everybody's excited because now this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And, you know, so everybody's worried about it. But nobody's looking and saying, I believe that there's coming judgment day, and everything that I've thought and done and all is going to be tested. And no, people don't think that way. And if they do, it's because they heard about it from the Bible. Okay, maybe as a child they went to Sunday school. Maybe as a young person they went to church and they heard some sermons on it. But now, like so many, my, it's tragic. When I think of all the young people, you know, graduates, early 20s, in their 20s at whatever point, and that once went to church, and they've walked away from church. Boy, when we pray, Pat and I, when we have our prayer time, we pray for many of these, and the list is just growing. The more we talk, the more we think of someone, and where are they? And let me tell you, they were once very active in church, in the youth group, and because of their involvement in the youth group, you would think as an adult, they'll continue on. And I don't know what happened. Well, I know what happens. The lure of the world gets them. Okay? The luring of the world. But they, you know, they begin to diminish their attendance at church. They go to church, and therefore you're hopeful. And they go sometimes. Well, they don't go like that, but praise God, they're going when they are going. And then after a while, they're not around. Not around. Well, like I say, that's not my subject. We're talking about the ark. Now, the world in Noah's day deserved the impending doom. God's wrath was about to be poured out. But God remembered Noah and his family. And God knew the condition of the world today. And 2,000 years ago or thereabouts, God planned for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, keep your place in Genesis, we'll come back to it. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, man's idea was to buy redemption. God said that won't work. And so he made a plan that will work, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like God, if God had simply said, if God had simply said, Noah, a flood's coming. You got to do something about it. I don't know what Noah would have come up with, but I guarantee you it wouldn't have been an ark. An ark is bigger than a football field. I checked that out. Boy, the internet's amazing. NFL, oh my, and speaking of NFL, wasn't that a sad ending to the game? Oh man, you know. And if there's any Texas fans here, just I keep quiet about it, okay? I wouldn't say anything. This is Bill's country, okay? Now, I didn't say this is a Bill's church, okay? I didn't say that. We wouldn't want to exclude any NFL fans, all right? But, yeah. Where was I now? A football field is 360 feet long. College fields and high school fields are different. But an NFL field is 360 feet long. The ark was 450. Bigger than a football field. Maybe it would go from the first row seats in one end to the first row seats in another. I didn't check those dimensions, but the ark was big. Now, some of our folks, I know the Fords did. Yes. Pardon?
Gone to the ark.
Oh, you too. Okay. If you've not ever gone to the ark, And that's down just over the Kentucky line, okay? You would like it. Now, I've not been there. You know, I've seen videos, I've talked to people who are there, and it's one of the things that I'd like to put on our list of things to do. But if Pat gets to the place where she can travel, we've got two different directions, Kansas to go and South Carolina to go, and that's where children and grandchildren live. And believe me, they take precedence over the Ark. But I would hope to be able to see it. It's a worthwhile trip. It's a worthwhile event. You want to say something about it? Yeah.
It was amazing. I was just baffled by it, how big it was. And one of the things that I really was intrigued by was I was all the way up in the bow of the top floor. You sat down and you could look, and as far as you can see, it's just bold.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's
yeah. Yeah.
And the timbers that they used, I don't know if Noah did, but the timbers that they used, you couldn't put your arms even close to the
wow.
part there.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, God gave Noah the dimensions, and he gave him the plans to build it. Now, we don't have the details of the plans in the Bible. That's what he's referring to with the size of the timbers. But, you know, man, you couldn't build the ark today. It wouldn't pass the safety laws. Okay? It only had one door and one window. And when God shut the door, there was no opening. It's good he shut it. I don't know what he used to seal it other than the fact that he said the door shut and it won't leak, okay? That's all you need, you know, but we can shut a door and say it won't leak. It will.
Yeah.
And so, the ark's amazing. Amazing. And he not only planned the ark, but Noah and his family were planned by God. And they're a type of us Christians. God has a plan for people to be saved. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he has a plan for, because he has a plan for us Christians. Now, it's all of grace, okay? We saw that in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was all the work of God. Man had no hand in it other than to respond and build it. Some people say, well, yeah, well, Noah had a hand in it. Not in the planning. Because if Noah had planned it, it wouldn't have worked. Just like when people plan their own way to get to heaven, it doesn't work. You see the comparison? And so this is in harmony with God's way of working out man's salvation. Remember Adam and Eve's covering after they sinned? What were they? Leaves. And they were inadequate. God provided an adequate covering in an animal sacrifice, using then the animal skins. Remember Cain's inadequate offering of his self-effort with his produce. Abel's was accepted. Why? Because it was by faith. He listened to the word of God. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible doesn't say it. God never expects anything of us but what he talks to us about it. And he gives us instruction. It's in here. Okay? It's in here. And so God spoke what those boys should bring as an offering. One obeyed the word and the other didn't. The other thought he had an okay plan, but oh, I don't know, you watch TV, and there's, I forget what company again, it's a commercial for, and it talks about just okay isn't enough, okay? You remember that commercial? And it shows people sitting around a table and speaking a foreign language, and the guy says, well, it's okay, and he ends up telling them, intending to tell them something in a business deal, but what he actually said in the language was, I need a hug. And so the guy says that, and the two people they're trying to sell look at each other, bewildered. One gets up, goes over, gives the guy a hug, and then the two in English say, see, it's working. Okay is not enough. And when it comes to our salvation, okay's not enough. Well, I think this ought to be okay, what I'm doing, how I'm living. No, it's got to be by Jesus Christ. Man can have no part in his salvation because man would produce an inadequate means, and God's means is effective. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5-8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, it's going to be in the end times, before Jesus comes again, it's going to be a condition like it was in Noah's time. Boy, when you read something like this, you can't help but understand that. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Praise God for the presence of Christians. Praise God for the presence of his people. But in the end times, remember that the Christians are going to be taken out. And then there'll be no restraining on people, because the restraining on people comes by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. That's why the Bible tells us we are the light of the world, and we need to let our light shine. well, let me move along here. Chapter 6, verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, this is not a surprise to him, but, you know, he repented of having made man. He changed his mind about what he had made. Now, when it says it grieved him at his heart, it doesn't mean that he was shocked by what was happening. It's just this is not what he intended to happen. And he lets man, did then, does today, with a free will, to follow him or to not follow him. And it grieved the Lord that man was not following him. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because Noah was that great a man, but there was something about Noah, and it evidenced itself to God that here's a man that is following me. Here's a man that is doing, trying to do, having an attitude in his heart to do what I've instructed. And that's how we find grace. We're just as imperfect as Noah. I mean, after the flood, he gets out of the ark. What's he do? He gets drunk. And he has sex with one of his kids. How in the world did he get in the ark? There was something in the attitude and heart of Noah that God saw that was real. Not perfect, but real. And when a Christian, when a man or woman comes to Jesus Christ and gets saved, it's the attitude of the heart. This is what I want to do, what God wants. That's my goal. You won't be perfect. You, like Noah, will fail. But as long as that determination, that attitude and heart is there, I want to do what God wants. I want God's way. You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. And don't think that you're an exceptional case. You're no exceptional case. You're just as ordinary as billions of other people. There's people living over in India. They hear the gospel, and they have to make the same determination. And they have similar pressures as we have. Okay? Go to Korea, and the same conditions exist. Go to Mexico, the same. Doesn't matter what language a person teaches. God looks at the heart. And if the heart is to do what God wants to do, he'll give grace. If he doesn't give grace, then this book isn't true. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Supernatural revelation. The ark originated in God's mind, and the The ark was all of God's grace. Notice also that the very nature of God's provision called for special divine revelation. In order to build it, God had a plan. Chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That was a revelation about coming judgment. God has given revelations in the Bible about coming judgment. And just like Noah's family was the only, you know, sometimes we get discouraged when it comes to telling people about Jesus and passing out tracts. And oh my goodness, church, I want to commend you. On Wednesday night, I took the Christmas tracts out of the rack, and when I took them out, there were only 5 there. There were a whole lot more than that. And somebody responded. Now, the thought did cross my mind. I wonder if somebody just took a bunch out, so I stopped talking about it. God will get you if that's the case. I'm gonna think the best. I'm gonna think people took them and passed them out while they were shopping or to their neighbors or whatever. And nevertheless, where was I at here before I got on the tracks? God has a judgment coming, and just like in Noah's day, people didn't want to listen. They laughed. Can you imagine Noah standing up saying, "Oh, folks, it's going to rain." You know, I don't know what the details were of what God told Noah about these parts. It's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. Oh yeah, right. That much dew's going to come. You know, rain. What's rain? And so Christians share over television, over radio, through literature, through the spoken words Christians share about coming judgment and what's going to happen. And Christians are going to be raptured out of the earth. Yeah, right. You're just going to float up. Man, you're not going to float. Okay, they'd say to me. And so, but no matter how thin you are, they still wouldn't believe it. They still wouldn't believe. So conditions are just like the Bible says they would be, like in Noah's day. People don't want to listen. Well, let's move along here. Now, the ideal dimensions for safety and seaworthiness were given: 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. Now, a football field is 160 feet wide. So, okay, it's not the size of a football, other than the fact it was longer. 45 feet high. And these measurements I got from somebody who can figure out what a cubit is, you know, and there's different lengths for a cubit. My one daughter got me a cubit, and you know, and it's 18 inches long. Well, some people say no, a cubit's 14 inches long, and a cubit from the tip of your fingers to your elbow, that's a cubit. So there's some, you know, disagreement. So some people might give you different footage for the size of the ark. Oh my, no model to work from. What an evidence of divine inspiration. God gave Noah the instructions. And you know, some say, well, it was just his family building it. How could they do all that work and just, you know, Noah and his sons? And the old man probably didn't have, and I mean, he was old, okay? I'm not being disrespectful. Noah, as an old man, okay, couldn't do a lot of the hard labor, but the boys did. But you know, it's not impossible. We don't have these kind of details. It's not impossible that they were able to hire some of the people and have them help. We don't get that kind of deal. Why doesn't God give us that? Because God's business isn't to satisfy our curiosities. God's business is to reveal to us what we need for his plan. Okay? And so we can surmise how it might have been built, but the end result, and how did they put that together? Did they have an auger drill, you know, that by hand, where'd they get them metal bits to do that? How'd they put them holes there to put them pegs in? Boy, I don't know, but they did. They did. Did God just look at it and you know, zapped a hole in it and told Noah, "Now put one of them sticks in here." I don't know. It doesn't matter. It happened. Oh, and you want fascination? Noah online and the location of the ark. It came and landed at what we know as Mount Ararat. Is that how it's pronounced? Mount Ararat. And that's where, you know, and there's, you get on there, they'll show you some aerial pictures of ice encased, and it sure does look like an ark. But we can't get up there because the side of the mountain that you need to go up is Russia? A communist nation. And they don't want the Bible proved. And again, it's all fascinating. And it doesn't matter if you do find the ark. It doesn't change anything. All it does would do is verify what the Bible says. But listen, God doesn't need to verify the Bible. God doesn't need to verify the Bible. We accept what he says by faith, just like Noah did. God didn't have to verify his instructions regarding the ark. All Noah had to do was follow them. You say, "I don't know if I have faith." If you have the determination to follow what the word says, you'll falter. I wonder how many times Noah had to cut another board. Okay? If he had my carpenter skills, he would. And so he followed. That's the significant thing. And so Noah believed what God told him, acted on it by faith. And remember that the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. We act on him by faith. Noah was warned of things not yet seen. That's how we know he had faith. We have been warned of things that we have not seen. Our faith is evidenced by believing on them and acting on them. Noah's faith was evidenced of things not seen by believing it, accepting it, and acting on it. If he had not gone ahead and built the ark, he would not have acted on them. If you and I do not go ahead regarding things unseen and accept Jesus Christ and commit our life to him, okay, that's what faith is. Committing my life to Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one door. I said that earlier. And that's a complete type of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, man will enter in." There's no other way into heaven than by Jesus Christ. And so in the ark, there was only one door. And like I said, a ship like that couldn't be built today. Did you see any, Mike, did you see any lifeboats?
No.
Or any rafts?
No.
You see, they didn't have it. What about vests? Did they have vests? No, they didn't have any. They didn't need it. Though it has been proven that the dimensions and the shape of the ark was ideal for its purpose.
Well, how could you get all them animals in?
Well, they took in little animals, baby animals. I don't know. That's certainly one way. You take in a little giraffe, you got the headroom then. They were just told to take two of every unclean and seven of every, pairs of every clean animal. Take them in the ark. Well, how did they feed them? They put food in there. You say, well, how could they? And again, people that are smart have thought these things through, and they have shown that it is absolutely possible. But then again, think about this. We already know that some animals hibernate. We know that some animals that we wouldn't actually hibernate, they go into a reduced form of function. I forget which one. I read that recently. Boy, I wish I had Pastor's mind. I'd remember it, and I'd be able to tell it. Oh, what a blessing that is for him. But anyway, it's a reduced form. And could not God have, in his intentions, have just put all the animals in that state? Well, sure he could have. But he took food on, so it's obvious, you know, a lot of them weren't going to be like that. They were going to eat, and God took care of them. Now, God provided a perfect ark. God provided through Jesus Christ a perfect salvation. God was in the ark. He shut the door. And he was in the ark with Noah and his family. He took care of them. Oh, man, you talk. I mean, we got tsunami conditions. Because not only did it rain for the first time, and there, up to then, it's many say that there was like an ice dome around the earth. And when that broke, melted, now you've got rains like we've never seen before. And you read the scriptures, the earth broke open, and springs and underground rivers gushed forth. So it not only was the rain flooding, but it was the breakup of the earth and the coming forth of water from underneath. I wish I could remember where that scripture that talks about water from the deep. And that's what, and that boat, let me tell you, they were not out for a Sunday sail. That boat was shaking all over the place, but they were safe in it because God gave the dimensions to build it and the instructions on how to do it. And one final thought is that God was in Christ, just like he was in the building of the ark and the provision of the ark and with Noah and his family. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Jesus. He was in the work Jesus was doing. He was in the man Jesus because he was God. And he provided all of that, reconciling the world to himself. What were the dimensions of the door? Well, the dimensions of the door are not given to us. Now, why were they not given to us? What might this teach us? I am taking the approach in this lesson to say that the ark represents Jesus Christ, and it would teach us that all can gain entrance. No sinner is too great, but that God's grace can save him. The ark's door wasn't made just for small animals. It was big enough for every animal. And God's door, Jesus said, I am the door. His door into heaven is big enough for the biggest of sinners. Okay? It's big enough for the smallest of sinners. Now, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking how they feel about them. Some people say, well, God wouldn't save me. I've done too much. I'm a big, bad sinner. But then some people walk around, they're so good, and they've never done really bad things, and they try to do nice things, and they're a little sinner. They don't think they have many sins. But whether it's a big sinner or a little sinner, it doesn't matter. The door, Jesus Christ, is wide enough and high enough for them to get saved, for you to get saved. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. I pray that these things that we've seen regarding the ark will be a help in understanding our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.